The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPont.com.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. As expected, so far, former special counsel Robert Mueller's testimony is restrained and low-key. Clearly, he's not trying to showboat or create any new news. So as Robert Mueller testifies to Congress about the report that bears his name, how did we get here? There are the allegations that Donald Trump worked with the Russian government to weaken American democracy so Trump could win the White House and Hillary Clinton could be banished to the political wilderness. There were secret meetings with the Trump campaign officials and Russian agents and a computer hack of the Clinton campaign, the sharing of stolen documents and back-channel deal-making about the softening of U.S. trade restrictions against Russia, and then the allegations of a cover-up, the obstruction efforts, the firing of FBI Director James Comey, the effort to fire Special Prosecutor Mueller, and the FBI-authored counter-narrative that was filled with untruths frequently delivered in late-night presidential tweets with the words in all caps, "Witch hunt, no collusion." When the Russian Mueller report was finally finished after nearly 2 years of work, we were given a report from a letter from Bill Barr, the attorney general then, that told us there was nothing to see here, literally nothing to see, because they weren't going to show it to us. But still, there were 37 indictments or guilty pleas, 199 criminal charges, but no conclusive findings that the president nor his campaign conspired with Russia. And on obstruction of justice, the report makes no determination. So what does all this mean? And did you ever read the Mueller report yourself, or at least what we were given to read? Call in with your questions and comments as we talk about that this afternoon. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this first half hour with Mark Bowden. He's a journalist and author known for his works of narrative nonfiction like Black Hawk Down, Killing Pablo and Hugh, 1968. He was commissioned by Insider to adapt the Mueller report, the text, into a reader-friendly narrative. And Mark Bowden, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, Dave.
So they gave you the Mueller report and they told you, make this readable, make it reader-friendly. And your works that you've done, your incredible writing that you have, like Black Hawk Down and Killing Pablo, you take these enormous narratives or these big blobs of information and you streamline it and you make it such gripping narratives. And did you say, like, I can do that, but you want me to do this? What was your reaction?
You know, I thought it was a great idea. And it really was not dissimilar to some of the work that I used to do when I was a newspaper reporter at the Philadelphia Inquirer, for instance, when there was a very big national story or international story. Sometimes the editors would ask me to take all of the reporting of our own people and all the stuff that was coming through on the wires and organize it into a coherent and compelling narrative. So it's a kind of work that I knew I could do and that I'd in fact done in the past.
They tell you, take Bartlett and Steele and give me 1,200 words.
Yes, exactly. In fact, I once did something very similar with one of Jim and Don's investigative efforts.
Well, that's what a great experience that must have been. But here we are now, and you're handed, there's all sorts of, like, we're going to take the Mueller report and do this with that. They thought that this was going to be the thing that really activated the American public. And we've had people saying, it's a nothing burger, nothing here. And so as you went through the report and to create the narrative, you really had to be the report. You really had to dig in, right?
That's right. I had to feel that I had digested it and understood it, and then, make the decision about what to leave out and what to focus on in order to make it a narrative that people would really find interesting to read.
So tell me more about that. As a journalist and you had to figure out, okay, some things have got to be pared down. We've got to make some tough decisions here. What right. did you think, like, so you have to decide what's the driving narrative? What is important for exactly. readers to know? So some things, that's the editorial decision-making that goes into writing.
It is. But, you know, the decisions sometimes have very little to do with the import of what's being reported. For instance, I mean, anyone who has read the 450-page report knows that a great deal of it gets down into some fairly detailed and complicated legal reasoning for, you know, why they chose to reach the finding they did in a particular instance, or why they decided to, not recommend going ahead with criminal charges, and what exactly the Justice Department rules are and what the law says. So I felt, you know, for anyone who really is interested in that, the report is there. Most people are not. So I made a very early decision that I was just going to boil down the legal findings to the simple fact. And so that really does away with, for my purposes, most of the first half of the Mueller report.
So some of your works, like Black Hawk Down, that was turned into a major motion picture. Killing Pablo, I know that also was, put onto the screen. Sex sells in these types of issues. That's generally the type of thing that grabs readers, like, you know, the intrigue, the sex, the spy intrigue stuff. Was that like... when you have FBI agent Peter Stroika and his texting back and forth with his mistress, also an FBI agent, about how their concerns about Donald Trump becoming president, and that's being used by people who are by the right wing to beat up on Mueller. That's something that people really get into.
It is. You know, what people look for are scenes with characters and dialogue and action. And, you know, there's a lot of that in the Mueller report. I focused on those things as I generally do when I'm putting together a story. I think the challenge is sometimes to give the reader sufficient context so that they can understand the events as they unfold and the motivations of the characters involved. But, there are wonderful scenes from inside the White House that depict Donald Trump at these critical moments. And they're very revealing about him as a person and as a president. So I think that once you extricate this material from the larger report, you have actually quite a dramatic story to tell that, as Robert Mueller has said, very much speaks for itself.
Did you expect a lot to come out of today's hearings?
No, I didn't. Mueller has made it very clear that he regards the report as his statement, and he was reluctant to testify further initially, and then said he didn't plan on saying anything that wasn't already in the report. So I take him at his word.
All right, we're going to take a break. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We'd like to hear comments from our listeners or questions. Did you read or did you try to read the Mueller report? What was your big takeaway? Have you been watching or listening to the Mueller testimony today? We want to hear your thoughts. Do you think that the news has done a good job of telling this narrative, or has it gotten too bogged down? And so we are able to have to resort to graphic novel style of telling of these stories. Is that working for you? 210-614-8980. The Source continues after a one-minute break.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With us right now is Mark Bowden. He is a journalist and author known for his works of nonfiction like Black Hawk Down, Killing Pablo, Hugh 1968. He was commissioned by Insider to adapt the Mueller report text into a reader-friendly narrative. And then he worked with an illustrator, Archer Illustrated, Chad Heard, and they put together this narrative storytelling with illustrations about the Mueller report. And so Mark Bowden, what was the big scene, the thing that you thought, like, this is incredible? I can't believe this actually happened.
Well, there are several moments like that. You know, I think that while the report itself didn't reach any conclusions about whether President Trump tried to obstruct justice, the story that it tells shows him trying to obstruct the investigation in every way possible, even including calling his White House counsel, Donald McGahn, and ordering him to fire Mueller, to get Mueller fired. That and several other instances like that, firing the FBI director, James Comey, because Comey refused to comply with Trump's insistence on demonstrations of loyalty. It just, you know, these are very dramatic scenes, and they show vividly a president who is trying hard to derail and obstruct, limit a Justice Department investigation.
When your approach to this, it was, since you're a trained journalist, was it strictly staying in that journalistic lane?
It was. You know, I think my assignment was to distill what is in the report. And so I didn't do hardly any reporting outside of that. And I also didn't introduce my own sort of editorial judgment. I simply presented the material that's in the report, which, as I said, is actually quite dramatic and very easy to understand, and makes, as Mueller has argued, a very powerful statement in and of itself.
The number to call in is 210-614-8980 as we talk about taking the Mueller report and helping people digest this information. Why do you think, Mark, that people didn't all rush out and start reading it? And it was a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah, a lot of people bought it, but I think very few people read it. And I think it's because it's daunting. You mentioned at the outset of the program that it reads a little bit like a warranty or an instruction manual for something that you just purchased. It's very dense legal prose. A lot of newspapers did a good job of pulling out the more dramatic and illustrative material. But I think this was an opportunity for me to pull it all together into a chronological and coherent narrative so you can really understand exactly what was going on in the White House. And I must say that it's very rare for a reporter to have access to the testimony or stories being told by someone like the White House chief of staff or the the chief White House counsel while they're still, you know, in those positions. The FBI subpoenaed these people and they were obliged to tell the truth. And so the material in the report is firsthand, delivered not by Trump's critics or by reporters, but actually by the people who serve him directly.
And you're using the redacted report, right?
I am, but there's actually very little, Dave, redacted in the report that deals with the more substantial obstruction of justice issue. Most of the redactions concern activities that went on with Russian agents during the campaign.
So ongoing investigations, that part is redacted, but there's still a lot there, which I think is one reason why a lot of people may not have bothered. They figured, well, it's all blacked out, but you're saying there's a lot there. And also, I think a lot of people feel like, why would I want to read the book when I lived the movie? I've been watching this for the past 2 years.
Yeah, you know, and I think people who follow it very closely probably, you know, feel that they don't need to wade back all the way back through it. But if you're like me, and I'm someone who does follow the news fairly closely, you tend to get stories kind of piecemeal. It's just the nature of the way news breaks and the way information flows. So there is a value, I think, in going back and pulling together these individual stories and putting them, arranging them in an order and telling them in a coherent way so that you can really follow how and why things unfolded as they did.
And we got the letter from Attorney General Bill Barr when the report was first released, not to us, but to him. Do you think that letter was accurate or was able to characterize the report in an honest way?
No, I don't. I think it was calculated to reduce the impact of the report and to portray it as a fairly benign vindication of President Trump, which anyone who reads it will see immediately is not so.
The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Also in the next half hour, we're going to be joined by Brian Karam, who's a White House correspondent, and he's a former former reporter here in San Antonio. Let's go to Jose on the line. Jose, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Jose, go ahead.
Hi. My question is, earlier in 2017-2018, the Fitch team came out with a report characterizing the this alleged hacking of the DNC servers as a leak, as opposed to a hack. In other words, it was a physical breach. And the Mueller report, from my understanding, has found it to be inconclusive. That whole situation where everybody's claiming that they were hacked from an external source was inconclusive. They did not come up with that result. Are you in agreement with that? Did you find that as well?
Jose, thank you for the call. Mark Bowden, what do you think?
Well, the report does characterize the efforts to obtain information from the Democratic National Committee as hacks, that they were able to infiltrate the computer networks and steal information like emails, like plans and whatnot. And I should add that a big part of the Russian effort was not just this hacking of the Democratic National Committee, but the social networking that they did to create and spread propaganda, false stories about Hillary Clinton, and stories that were also false, but were promoting Donald Trump.
With the hack into the DNC, it was one of these phishing emails that you're not supposed to click on, but they clicked on, right?
As far as I know, that's one of the ways that it was done. But the report very clearly says that the Russian effort involved infiltrating the computer networks of the Democratic National Committee and stealing information.
And did it surprise you sometimes that this seemed almost read like a script from Veep?
You know what? I don't watch Veep, to be honest.
Well, it was like a comedy, almost like I can't believe the people who are running our country can be so dim at times.
Well, you know, what was surprising is that there was, without any doubt, and this is something that the Mueller's report conclusively found, was the sweeping effort by the Russians to affect the campaign, to promote Trump and to undermine Hillary Clinton. And they made repeated efforts to try to coordinate their program with the Trump campaign. They failed not because the Trump campaign wasn't eager for their help. In fact, Donald Trump even very recently has said he sees nothing wrong with working with a foreign government to try to help get him elected, but because they lacked the organization really to take advantage of what these Russian agents were offering.
Or when the Trump administration puts forth a narrative talking about, the meeting in Trump Tower, this is what we were talking about. And then President Trump goes on with an interview with Lester Holt and blows that to smithereens. And this is a gang that can't get their story straight.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it reflects the character of Donald Trump, who is very impulsive and who generally does whatever he feels like doing from one moment to the next. So I would think, and this is reflected in the report, that it's terribly difficult and frustrating to work for him because you don't ever know quite what he's going to ask you to do and whether what he's going to ask you to do makes sense given in light of what you had decided earlier to do. So, yeah, that, I think that that's all a reflection of the man.
A great story needs great characters. Of course, Donald Trump is an amazing character, a very dynamic individual. But the surrounding cast, you have to wonder about some of these people, like Michael Flynn, Carter Page, Hope Hicks. Were they good characters to work with, in your opinion?
Yeah, they're fascinating. And, the way they react to and work with Trump is very enlightening, I think. Generally, the way Trump operates is that he asks people around him to do something for him, or he lets them know that it would make him very happy if they did it. And if you don't do those things, then he turns on you. So you find, people like Jeff Sessions and James Comey and Donald McGahn being instructed to do things that they know are first of all illegal, or secondly, will get them in trouble, and very often, in their opinion, would undermine Trump's presidency, and them deciding either to ignore him or to forget to do what he's asked them to do, or trying to talk him out of whatever it is he's trying to accomplish.
Do you think there are lessons to be learned in the Mueller report that America still needs to take to heart?
Well, one of the things that struck me was the number of people who, even though they were working for Trump, still had a conscience, still were determined to live up to the responsibility of their office. And if only because they saw the potential for legal problems for themselves, placing limits on some of the things that the president wants to do.
So that's Don McGahn you're talking about there, right? The attorney for the White House.
Yes, it is. But it isn't just him. Corey Lewandowski, who was Trump's campaign manager and a real Trump loyalist, took a dictation from President Trump that he wanted delivered to Jeff Sessions and demanded that Jeff Sessions repeat this statement word for word. And Lewandowski managed to lose it, basically, never delivered it because it was just childish and inappropriate.
And Rod Rosenstein, who became the person who appointed Robert Mueller, is still uncertain about, what he's all about.
Yeah, except that, when push came to shove, he refused to lie for the president. When Trump fired Jim Comey, he demanded that he first of all said that it was all Rod Rosenstein's idea. And then he demanded that Rosenstein hold a press conference and announce to the world that it had been his idea to fire Comey. And Rosenstein just refused. He said, it's not the truth and I'm not going to say it.
Do you think, even though we've had the testimony today, and even though you created this powerful narrative where you slimmed things down and made it reader-friendly, that people still need to go to the original report and read that?
I don't think so. I think it's there. It's certainly available to anybody who is interested in the detailed legal reasoning behind the various decisions that the special counsel office made. But the bulk of what actually happened and the bulk of the things that are likely to create criminal problems for the White House are in the adapted version that I did. But anybody, who wants to dive into it more deeply is free to do so. It's there.
So if you're not paid to read the Mueller report, if you're not a member of Congress or, a political guy, then, you shouldn't hold your head in shame that it's okay not to have read the entire report. But instead, there's plenty of people like yourself who have created reader-friendly ways to access that information, right?
Yeah, I would never have read it, Dave, unless I was paid to do it.
All right. Well, it sounds like that was money well spent. Mark Bowden, thank you so much. Journalist and author known for his works of narrative nonfiction like Black Hawk Down, Killing Pablo. He did a reader-friendly narrative along with an artist, sort of a graphic novel style by Insider. And thank you so much, Mark. It was great to have you.
Thank you, Dave.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director.